107 FM Talk 106.5 in Mobile Mornings. Sean Dalton, Dr. Bill Kane with traffic. And speaking of traffic, once again, and looking at the pictures now from our traffic department and Kane, that 18-wheeler is absolutely covering both eastbound lanes in the Wallace Tunnel. They are diverting traffic, of course, off of I-10 eastbound. If you're having gotten to that point yet, you're going to have to get off, at least as it stands right now. It is not cleared. If you're trying to travel I-10, you're heading eastbound. You're going to go through the Wallace Tunnel. It's not going to be for a while.
No, that's two tough days in a row. I think yesterday it was westbound on I-10 that there was severe backups, and then now today with that overturn there in the tunnel. And looking at the picture, I mean,
it's going to be a while.
Yeah, it's going to take a long time.
All right, we'll keep you updated on that through the traffic department. And, of course, the biggest story of the day, and that's why we go to News 5's Katarina Lukatich, our friend on scene in Saraland at the Bayou Sara boat ramp. Hey, Katarina.
Hey, good morning.
Morning. So this is, give us a timeline on what has happened. This started yesterday with finding the vehicle. Give us a timeline what happened.
Yeah, so this started kind of yesterday afternoon. I'm not sure the exact time, but some different agencies, their dive teams were conducting some regular training in Bayou Sara. So they were going under the water using their sonar and all that just for training purposes. And they stumbled across this car. So they had a diver go down and kind of check it out. And when they take a closer look, it's a blue Chevy Cruze. Blue Chevy Cruze, that's what Danilo Vian was last seen driving. And when they take a closer look, they find that not only is it hers, they've determined that, but they also find human remains inside of that car. And so by the time that divers were looking last night, the sun went down and it got dark. So that kind of put their investigation on hold. So once the sun is now up this morning, dive team has just went back in the water. And Mobile Police Chief Lawrence Petit saying that the hardest part for them about this is that their entire crime scene is underwater. So they don't want to move the car too fast. They don't want to move the human remains too fast because all that sediment that has settled for, they don't know how long that car has been there. But if you remember back, Danielle Ryan has been missing for almost 9 months. So it could be 9 months that that car has been sitting underwater. So they're afraid that if they move it, some things will disintegrate. So they're trying to take as many photos as they can before they physically remove the car from the water.
Yeah, this is, and like you said, it's 9 months. July 17th of last year, Daniela Vian goes missing, and now this vehicle found. And without, I don't get too gruesome, I heard the police chief kind of talk about, you know, the body inside and not moving it because of decomposition, but also, yeah, that crime scene's going to be, I mean, just the sediment anywhere in the bottom of bayous and rivers around here, unless you're in the sand, you're in the mud around here, you start moving a vehicle or, heck, the kick of a pair of fins from a diver, and, I mean, you could go to no visibility.
Exactly. So that's what they're being very careful, and they said it's going to be a slow and methodical process. And, of course, they can't confirm that the remains are Danielle and Diane because of the level of decomposition. They're going to have to be sent off for forensic testing. But the police chief here is saying they have every reason to believe that it is Daniela.
Katarina, we've had some questions on the text line, and I know you were out there with the police chief as he was doing that interview. Were you able to tell how far from the ramp the vehicle was located?
Yeah, he hasn't told us how far, and where they have us positioned on scene, it's kind of hard to see. We can't see very far past the boat launch. So I can't tell how far out it is, but it seems to be relatively close to where the launch is.
Yeah, that's one of, you know, and I was wondering if you, same question the texters have been asking, Dalton was asking, if you know, just seeing the bubbles from the divers coming up or wherever they're working, because this, you know, the vehicle goes, so a boat ramp has this tapered, you know, where you can go in, and usually that it's concreted for a certain distance and then it stops and you have ways to walk out. If it's really close to the boat ramps, I can't imagine on a low tide this winter on a big north wind or somebody, you know, backing in a heavier boat or something didn't bump it, but it must be further out than just like the end of the dock.
Yeah, it must be a little bit further out because we can't see them from where we are, and we're about probably 100 yards from the boat launch, and we can't see where they're diving down. But it is a little surprising because this is a pretty public area. There are a lot of houses out here. So, you know, if this turns into, obviously, this is a criminal homicide investigation case, but if this turns into the fact that someone came and dumped this car out here, I mean, it's a pretty public place.
Yeah, if you're just joining us, talking to News 5's Katarina Lukatic, she is live on scene in Saraland at the Bayou Sara boat ramp, where the vehicle matching the make and model of Daniela Vianne's blue Chevy Cruze was found can you imagine this lucky break in the investigation? Sad news, but lucky break with dive teams training. Now, with the police chief saying that this is going to take time, did they at any point say that they're going to try to pull that vehicle out today, or is that an uncertain time when that will happen?
Yeah, so they're planning on pulling it out today. We're not sure exactly when in the day. He said as soon as the divers have been able to document as much as they can underwater and they feel like they've looked at everything where it is in this place, then they'll pull the car out. They'll move the car to one of their lots, one of their secure locations, where they can do further processing of the car for any additional evidence. But again, they really just want to take as many pictures as it is and where it is before they move the car and disturb any evidence that could be there.
Yeah, I'm trying to think back to, you know, I know that the MPD has the blog there for, you know, they had offered rewards and then had a blog going to try to get more information about the disappearance of Daniela Vianne. And we had a confirmed sighting of her in the vehicle, like at Government and 65, right? And then disappeared.
Yeah, at the Shell station, and then she disappeared. So you have to think this is pretty far from where she was last seen.
And that's right. So, and there wasn't, has there been anything else out in the information that had, was that, that was the last place? There was nowhere after that that had somebody had spotted that vehicle?
No, not that anyone had seen. And so really this case has been cold for months, and it turned out that this training exercise really turned out to be a lucky break in the case. The police chief saying that, you know, for months they've just wanted to bring closure to Daniela Vianne's family. Mm-hmm. Obviously, this is not what they wanted the outcome to be. They wanted to find her alive, but that they're going to do everything they can to bring as much closure to this family. If there was foul play involved, if there's anyone who they can find responsible, that they want to make sure that they preserve as much evidence that they can that will be admissible in court.
That's for sure. Thank you for the update. Thanks for the reporting you're doing there this morning, and we'll check back with you as new information comes up.
All right. Thanks, Sean.
All right. News 5's Katarina Lukatic, she's greatest, out there on scene in Saraland. And she says it there, and that's the important part, too. It is, while we're looking at it as a news story,
mm-hmm.
right? It's a news story, and here's another piece of information and a story of disappearance. There's somebody's daughter, somebody's
yes.
mama. You know,
yeah,
this is, and so yes, I know they're asking for their privacy, the family. We should absolutely respect that they're dealing with this morning. While it's not confirmed that it's the remains of Daniela Vianne, you at least would lean to believe at this point. But I would say, good for the police department saying, hey, we still have to do the test on the body, make sure this is the person.
Yeah, so. I really feel for Daniela Vianne's family. I mean, a 5-year-old daughter and a family that clearly cares for her and loves her. I mean, they've kept her name out there for a very long time now. I mean, we're talking 9 months now, and you know, sometimes you stop hearing about missing persons cases. This has been a constant here in Mobile
yep.
that we've talked about trying to find Daniela Vianne, and you know, awful news that they found it where they found it, but hopefully that will bring some closure.
Yeah, and I see as more text about this, and y'all, I've thought the same thing, and I'm going to sit back and wait for more information from law enforcement. I don't know, although I've seen strange things too, and what I'm getting at is the distance of the vehicle. So you come up to a boat ramp, and I've launched by a Sara boat ramp, that one in particular, and then there's several of them around there, but that one in particular. So, but any boat ramp, it also depends on how the river or bayou is, how deep it is. Is it in a bend? Is it on a point? You know, ramps on the causeway, or you have to, they're a lot shallower just because of the way but how far out? So a boat ramp is built, right? You have a back down ramp,
mm-hmm.
and you have the cement slab that continues some distance into the water.
Right.
And that's actually, if you've ever seen them build those sections, it's pretty neat. They get the first part of the concrete work they can do done, and then they get slabs of concrete formed on shore in a parking lot or whatever, and then push them with a dozer.
Really?
I've seen them push them into place and drop them, you know, trying to, but so they only go down a certain distance. So you think about a vehicle. So the vehicle would, let's say it was going forward, for example, it's going to go forward into the water to a certain point that, well, number one, the engine is going to fill with water. It's going to crack the block.
Right.
Okay. So the engine's not going to work anymore. Then there's a certain amount of time that the air in the vehicle and the tires and places like that will, before it gets, you know, when that air is expelled from outside the vehicle, then it's going to start sinking, you know, pretty hard. But, you know, you've seen pictures and you go to YouTube and watch a video of a car that sits there 25, 35 seconds before it starts, you know, going completely under. You've seen some that windows down, they go down right away. It, basically what I'm getting to, and this is the good old boy portion of my brain saying, if it was not a good distance out, we get a low tide, we get a big low tide, like a 2-foot low tide, a 1.8 or something like that. Winter time, get a big north wind and high pressure. There's sometimes you can go to the boat ramps around here during the winter time, and you can see the end of the slab.
All the way down.
Yeah,
past.
When you get a big low tide and a north wind and those things, we'll get these situations where you get a big, you know, get a big bull front, as we call them, coming in here blowing out the water. It's surprising how I'm going to be interested, like you asked and people on the text line, how far out from the end of the piers that run alongside a launching ramp was that vehicle? Because you would think somebody might have bumped the car with the foot of their engine coming in, or seen something on a low tide or something. But I don't know. Once again, I don't know. I'm not there. I can't see the scene. I don't know exactly the lay of it. But just to answer the people that on the text line have asked those questions, yeah, I got those same questions too, but there may be real solid answers for them. We just need to sit back and let law enforcement do that work and investigation. But then when that information comes out, believe me, I'm like, y'all, I'm going to be interested in how far out it was.
And were you saying this is a pretty popular boat ramp?
Yeah, sure. Yeah, you got that in Steel Creek. You got a couple there in Saraland, but if you're going to be launching there, yeah, that definitely gets traffic.
It's not seldomly used.
No, it's not seldomly used. And like Katarina said, there's houses. I mean, they go through like neighborhoods going by, but you know, it could have happened in the middle of the night. We don't, these are all things we don't know at this point. All right, we'll talk more about this with you when we get back at 343-0106, 343-0106. Also another traffic update. Thank you very much for the information. Wreck at Government in Glenwood. That's right there in front of Little Flower. We'll have the government tied up as well. And remember, I-10 eastbound, Wallace Tunnel, a no-go. No-go right now. Shut down. Tractor trailer has overturned in the eastbound Wallace Tunnel. We'll let you know when it gets cleared with Kane in traffic coming up. Right, 825 FM Talk 106.5 in Mobile Mornings once again. Just to double down on what Kane said, I-10 eastbound Wallace Tunnel, no go right now. Give you the latest when that gets opened up. And also from the text line, a wreck there at Glenwood in front of Little Flower. Glenwood and Government right in front of Little Flower. So be aware of that, and you can keep them coming. Keep your text in. You got an accident, you see something like that, help out your fellow FM Talk 106.5 listeners when you hit us up on the text line 343-0106. All right, getting ready for the weekend, and if your weekend is going to be somewhat hamstrung because you had junk projects to do that you didn't do before, and you want to do things this weekend, like do some Star Wars nerd thing tomorrow, or May the 4th,
that is tomorrow.
Yeah,
isn't
May
it?
The 4th. The high holy holiday for all Star Wars nerddom. now let me say this: I came out of the Star Wars ranks. You know, Star Wars fan.
You're now a Trekkie.
No, and they don't like that. They say we're Trekkers.
Oh, okay.
That's, so Trekkie that's offensive. Is diminutive.
That's offensive.
Trekkers. So now it's not Star Trek wasn't my thing. It was Star Wars, but that it's also, you know, 25 years ago or something, I offered that up, and I mean, I still know things, and I impress my son, because you'll say, so, and I'll say, oh yeah, that's this and that, and he's like, how do you know that? And I said, well, there were Star Wars movies back when your dad
back
was
in
a
my
boy.
Day.
But yeah, May the 4th tomorrow, and then thinking about it. So if you want to get out and do any of those things, and you got projects lined up for you that you didn't get done, do this. Say, I made a call today. Make the call, too. Don't lie. Make the call to 1-800-GOT-JUNK or go online to 1-800-GOT-JUNK.com and make an appointment for next week to have Trey and the crew come out and get rid of the junk. That could be at your office, could be at your house, could be a storage unit. Think about that. If you're cutting that check every month for a storage unit, pretty sure if you haven't gone to look at the storage unit stuff in a year or so, you probably don't need it in your life. If you make that decision, get it gone. 1-800-GOT-JUNK. And they can go up, they can get stuff out of your home. If you know there's junk you want to get gone, but you physically can't do it, can't get up the creaky attic stair ladder thing to go in the attic, or maybe something big in the backyard like a swing set or a They'll move swing sets. They'll get rid of swing sets, above ground pools, storage buildings in the backyard, junk there. Anything. It's junk. They can get you. 1-800-GOT-JUNK. Make that appointment today and then enjoy your weekend. All right. Phone number, text line 343-0106. 343-0106. Those jobs numbers.
Yeah. Big time.
Muy fuerte.
So they released the jobs report, I think about an hour ago is when news started coming out on this. I mean, they've been expecting it for days now, but 263,000 jobs added in April. They were expecting 165,000 jobs to be added. So almost 100,000 more jobs added in the month of April than they were expecting to see. It's the lowest unemployment rate in 50 years. 1969 was the last time that unemployment was this low, 3.6%. And of course, back in 69, U.S. was in the Vietnam War. So there were wartime jobs then.
And people were trying to make sure that they weren't just hanging around.
Right.
You know,
there's that too. But yeah, lowest unemployment rate in 50 years. Of course, with the Democrats hitting the campaign trail right now.
Yeah, how are they going to explain that
one? It's interesting. I wonder how they will. I'm sure that they won't be at a loss of words. They'll have some reason. Maybe they'll say it's Obama's jobs or something like that.
But I want to, you know, and I want to, in my lifelong quest to be fair, wait and see what kind of jobs these are, because it was unfairly done towards the Bush administration. I think it was unfairly done to some degree during Obama. They spin it certain ways. In this case, though, the jobs, and what I'm getting at is people say, yeah, there's jobs added, but they're not high-paying jobs.
Mm-hmm.
Anecdotally, what I've seen in this economy is these are good jobs. Now, there has been some wage stagnation, which is weird based on, like, if you go back and look at your economic books, you know, there should have been some jobs absolutely have grown in wages. Some have stagnated. But I think the jobs that are being added in this kind of economy are not your minimum wage jobs. Those were present. Those can be present in a bad economy. Actually, in some weird sectors, they actually grow in bad economies. In a great economy like we've had since President Trump has been in, these are great job, middle-class jobs coming online. That is what drives economies, whether it be right here in Mobile and Baldwin County, when we talk about the importance of like an Airbus or something like that, because those jobs, what they do, the magnifier through an economy is huge. And when you do that nationally, it builds on itself. Now, the question is it built? Now, I am very excited about the jobs numbers. I'm a big fan of what's happening with this economy. Not only do I, you know, host a couple radio shows here, I'm one of the owners of a small business called FM Talk 106.5.
Oh.
So I'm chin deep in this. I love it. I do worry always about, is it artificial or is it organic? But, you know, you start looking back over 30 years, I think you can almost say that everything is artificial. Because people say, hey, some of the numbers, I look at the metrics in the stock market, mm-hmm. and go, I don't get why certain stocks are doing what they're doing. So you do worry, you know, when does the music end on this? But right now, it looks fantastic. And rah, 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 I'd be cheering it every day. I am, as a business owner, and I think President Trump and his administration should, and I think the Republicans should tout themselves on this as well.
Yeah, stock futures growing after the release of that report. And here's a couple other stats. Average hourly earnings growth held at 3.2% over the past year. Dow Jones was estimating 3.3%, so that's a little lower than they were expecting. Monthly gain was 0.2%. That's below the expected 0.3%.
Yeah,
and the average is $27.77 an hour, $27.77. Average work week also dropped 0.1 hours to 34.4 hours.
Okay, so go back to that number, the average wage hourly.
They say monthly gain was 0.2%, below the expected 0.3% increase, bringing the average to $27.77.
But think about what that number means for an economy.
Mm-hmm.
That is averaged hourly wage. That's
not bad.
That's not the economy of a bunch of minimum wage jobs. That's solid. All right, I'll talk to you about this a whole lot more when we get back. Phone number, text line 343-0106. Also saying Causeway eastbound from the Cochran Bridge to Austell is a parking lot as well.
We appreciate it, Kane. 836 on FM Talk 106.5. This is Mobile Mornings on a Friday, heading into the weekend. And right now we head to McConnell Automotive, where we talk to Mitch McConnell. Hey, Mitch.
Happy Friday morning, Dalton.
Hey, happy Friday to you. So tell me, what's going on in McConnell Automotive? I know it's the start of a new month. That means some brand new deals.
Yeah, man, and I know we talk a lot about money, Dalton, but everybody out there listening, I think, gets tired of car dealers bragging about how great their prices are.
Mm-hmm.
how big are my discounts? And I think the biggest thing that I want to get across to anybody listening is, you know, McConnell, we've been around for over 60 years, just really treating people with a lot of honesty and transparency and making things easy, and kind of don't like all that back and forth junk. We really are the best dealership, I think, anywhere around to shop at. And one of the things that we love to talk about is trucks, because, you know, when you go shop, you really like to have a great selection. And what we pride ourselves in is being usually the number one dealership in all of Alabama. We have the biggest selection, man. So if you like trucks, the new truck, Dalton, we've got the X31, which is a replacement for Z71. We've got the AT4, you know, and right now I think we have like 15 AT4s in stock. Most dealerships might have two or three, and we've got, I think, a $4,500 rebate. The X31, you're getting discounts up to around $9,000, and that's off the 19 model. So just want to point everybody to our website, Dalton, which is McConnellAutomotive.com, and I think people will love the way we do business, partner, and we sure appreciate all that you guys do to support us, too.
A lot of folks out there looking for a new truck might have not bought one in the last 5-10 years. They've come a long way, so at McConnellAutomotive.com, great place to check out pictures and all the information about those brand-new vehicles.
Yeah, and that six-function tailgate, we're the only one that has that thing, so don't buy a Ford or anything else or even a Chevy until you drive the GMC, so that's my invitation. And we're on Dolphin Street right there. We're east of I-65, Dalton, so we appreciate it, buddy.
All right. Thank you, Mitch. Have a good one.
Y'all have a great weekend.
That's Mitch McConnell. Go see him and the crew at McConnell Automotive. He just said it. You'll find him on Dolphin Street just east of I-65.
Right. We'll get to the phone calls here, but I'd be remiss, and I had this on my list and stack of things, but we had so much in the way of breaking news this morning that I did not get to it, and that I talked about, even mentioned tomorrow being May the 4th, you know, which is the high holy holiday for all Star Wars nerds. And
it's my lightsaber sound.
Pretty good.
Thank you.
You can compete with my son. Because there's, can you only imagine, 8-year-old boy, we have a lot of lightsaber sounds, uh-huh. A lot of swords clanking sounds, and a lot of, I've taught him to make the old karate sounds from the old karate movies.
Oh,
like he doesn't
cool.
even see the, you know, psh, 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 psh.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's the only one doing that at 8. So I'm trying to make him a well-rounded young man.
Uh-huh.
Sword sounds, karate sounds, lightsaber sounds. Okay. And maybe some other sounds that mama says, you boys get outside if you can make those kind of noises.
He's off to a good start.
But yeah, the story that came out yesterday, Peter Mayhew, who was Chewbacca in, you know, from 1979, I think, or 79 for the first one, died April 30th with his family by his side in his North Texas home, survived by his wife, Angie, and their three children. Mayhew, who was Chewbacca, stood how tall? You see that? 7'2"?
Wow. 7'2".
Yeah, he was a hospital orderly. And he was, I mean, this is not like he was in other movies or places to be found, but he was a hospital orderly. They said Mark Hamill was quoted as saying he was the gentlest of giants and a big man. A big man with an even bigger heart who never failed to make me smile, and a loyal friend who I love dearly. I'm grateful the memories we shared. I'm a better man for having known him. Thanks, Pete. That was from Mark's tweet yesterday. But yeah, Peter Mayhew, dead, and the Chewbacca that we have all known, gone.
Yeah, and Harrison Ford, of course, who probably spent just uncountable hours on set with Mayhew.
Yeah, piloting the Millennium Falcon.
Yeah, of course. He said, I loved him. Pretty strong words. He said he was a kind and gentle man, had great dignity and noble character.
Good stuff. Sad passing there. But yeah, they're on the day before the nerdiest of Star Wars nerds holidays. Sad news. All right, to the phones we go at 343-0106. Y'all hold on, because we've got a stack of folks, but I'm going to get to you. Will is in Mobile. He's the first up. Hey, Will.
Good morning, Sean. How
morning.
Y'all doing?
We're doing good. What's up?
I have a bit of a conundrum here, and I know you've got a great base of listeners.
Okay.
I have a pickup truck that has an electrical problem that I've taken it to countless mechanics, even the dealer, and have not been able to get it even diagnosed. I paid countless diagnostic fees, stuff. They've thrown parts at it. And I know someone out there knows something about this truck. It's a Dodge truck, and the engine panel goes out. It's intermittent, and I'm just wanting to throw this out because I know you've got a great fan base, and somebody knows how to fix this truck. I'm just trying to...
So what was going... Your phone actually dropped out for a second. What keeps going out?
Well, my instrument cluster will,
okay,
will stop out.
What year is it?
It's an 04 Dodge.
All right. 04 Dodge. We'll jot this down. The reason I'm jotting this down, Will, and I'm going to put you on hold, and Philip in the control room there, if you'll get Will's phone number, we will get people put through to him. And you're right, Will. It's funny, over the years, we're not turning this into car show. That's on Monday nights, and it's great with Tom. But I am going to get your information to our buddy Tom Claxton, Kevin Raywinkle, see what they can do with it. But yes, we have solved problems like this over the years on the show. I do want to keep the so we're not going to go with car questions.
Okay.
But, you know, lucky for y'all, y'all have a locally owned, locally sourced radio station here. You get a live call-in car show every Monday night at 8 o'clock. Mm-hmm. But we'll try to get you the information beforehand. If not, call those boys on the car show on Monday night, and I'll tell you right now, if they can't diagnose it, I don't know that anyone can. Tom even does stuff like, he'll my old truck, he'll see me driving in, and he said, you know, you got a such and such and such and such wrong. I said, no. He said, I do. I said, okay, Tom.
The best way, if you can't get in touch with anyone, just drive on down to Ed's Seafood Shed and wait, and Claxton will be there.
You're saying, like stalk him?
You don't even have to, just park out in the parking lot, maybe go in and get some food, and Claxton will be there at some point in the day.
That is true. Truth right there, for sure. All right, to the phones. And we're talking about a couple things this morning. The discovery of the vehicle of Daniela Vianne there in Bayou Sara that happened overnight. And the irony of it, you had Mobile and Saraland dive teams training there when they came upon the vehicle. I'll talk about that. And also those jobs numbers out, best since 69, which is nice.
Mm-hmm.
But there is more. And this is, doesn't mean, before you get all, you know, your dander up, doesn't mean I'm not excited over the moon for this. This is good news. Believe me, as a citizen of the United States, a small business owner, this is good. It may be all solid. I'm just looking through to make sure and give it the fair shake that we have on all the other sets of jobs numbers, you know, where we're growing. One of the things that I think is so important, though, out of this, and why I think this is great news, is you talked about that average salary, hourly salary, that, or not salary, hourly wage. That's a big deal. That's a big deal in an economy. You know, you can add jobs. What kind of jobs are you adding, right? You can add a whole bunch of jobs that that pay minimum, and you've done something, but you haven't done what you've done if you have jobs are paying $27 an hour, like that average. And our buddy Mark Holliday came through and he said maybe one of the reasons for the stagnation I was talking about, some areas have had growth, some areas have had stagnation, as he says, that's actually not people getting more to do the job, it's people matriculating through from one job to the next, and the job is holding steady at that rate. Maybe it pays, maybe somebody goes from a job getting $15 an hour, they get another job, they're making $45 an hour now. That wage hasn't risen.
It was there.
But the person now has got that job that didn't have it before. So that's a real good thing to think about.
Yeah. One of the numbers I just want to point out real quick says those counted as not in the labor force surged by 646,000 to a fresh high of 96.2 million. And I know my first thought, and probably a lot of people, would be those are people that quit looking for a job and are capable workers and probably
would be part of the U-12 number.
But there would be a lot of people who are also entering retirement, I would imagine, too.
Baby boomers, the biggest generation.
And people living longer than they ever have and now no longer working. So that's got to be a reason the number's going
higher. I'd love to have old Ross Perot-style whiteboard breakdown. Okay, now, Sean, here's the number. Here's people actively looking for a job. Here's people that aren't. Let's go to Derek in Fairhope next. Hey, Derek.
What's going on, man? Do y'all really want me to gloom and doom all over this parade?
Well, I don't want you, but what I'm always looking for is truth. And a lot of times people say that's gloom and doom, but I think if you know truth, you're better suited to be able to deal with what comes.
You are. We talked about this. You know, the numbers are whatever you want to make them. Now, one of the things about the jobs report is it's the best it's been in 50 years. Well, for the first time in 50 years, we have more people working over the age of 50. So as soon as you say we have the best numbers since,
69.
Well, yeah, so for the first time ever, we have people over the age of 50 working more than they ever have. So, you know, that's going to increase the job numbers, but that's not even the scariest part of it.
But that would be contrary, wouldn't it? I mean, if you had more people wanting a job, it would be an even bigger chance of having unemployment rise because you have a certain number of jobs the economy can support. And if you have more people engaged in trying to find those jobs than before, wouldn't that be something that would drive unemployment up, not down?
Yeah, I think I'm following you there. You threw the big one on me. It would, you know, say that again.
I'm just saying, so you're saying there's more people. Okay. So there's more, you're saying more people over 50 engaged in the and looking for a job or working in this economy. All right. And I'm just working off of your premise here because I don't have any numbers. I'm just, so with that being said, if there are more people now that aren't retiring that are engaging and trying to get in and get a job, and you have a certain number of jobs out there that increase pressure on those jobs, people looking to fill those jobs, wouldn't that have an increased chance of making the unemployment rate go up, then go down? Because if you could keep people off the regular unemployment, not the U-12 number, but the regular unemployment, you could keep them from looking for a job, you could make the thing look perfect. Because if there's a ton of jobs and you keep people from looking for jobs, then it's full employment. You see what I'm saying? So more people getting into the system would actually be a risk of having a higher unemployment number, which we don't have. We have the lowest, you know, since 69.
Yeah. I mean, it's, I've never really trusted some of those numbers because what you get, you're getting that from, some of the employment, claims from ADT, the world's largest, processing. And, they'll count that, but, at the same time, you're not counting one person, one job. You could have one person having two jobs, one person having three jobs. And so they never take away that discrepancy. Claiming that, we've got, this employment when you've got actually one person, doing two jobs, and they count that two jobs as two people.
Do they? Is that, I mean, I don't know that. I mean, you're educating me.
That's what they did, like when Obama, that was one of the things that, once again, we're going back to the Trump campaign, and remember, like Trump was talking about, they're cooking the books on the employment. That was one of the things that came out. We're talking the other day about how they calculate, certain things. Well, they've changed up a little bit of what they use and what they don't use to get the numbers that they want. It's almost like they arrive at a predetermined, notion, and they work backwards to see how they can get that. That was one of the claims that Trump was using against, Hillary back in, his 2016 report. So that's a little scary. The other scary thing is what I told you the other day is that the number of elderly people, because that's, when you talk about that, that's really a scary thing. There's 1,000, I believe it's 1,000 baby boomers retiring each day right now, which is going to be a huge drain on the system. We'll get to that later. But in 5 years, those 60, or was it 55 and older will make up 25% of the workforce.
Hold on 1 second, because we're going to get up and we'll hold you over here. But Dalton, you had...
I just wanted to ask Derek one thing. If every president and every administration's always cooking the books, this number is lower than the rest. So would you say that... Are you saying the Trump administration is better at cooking the books than the Obama administration and the Bush administration? Or do you... I mean, it looks like no matter how you cut it, this is good news for the most part.
I mean, it would be good news, if I would look at it as good news if I didn't look at the underlying reason why more, retirees or people getting close to that age are seeking work, it's just when Sean talks about the underlying fundamentals, of the market and stuff like that. Well, those are drivers for some of these people who are nearing the age of retirement, and they're realizing that they can't and that they are going to have to work. And so that's what, when it said that, 25% in 5 years. That is the underlying foundation that maybe is not so good.
I'm going to get gunched up where I won't be able to finish by the end of the hour. Derek, we'll talk about this in the future. As always, appreciate your call. And we'll get to your other phone calls at 343-0106 and your text coming up after the break. Yeah, it's interesting when you talk about things like this and you try to just assess things in my mind, only in my mind, fairly. Some people are saying that we're anti-Trump. I told you, I'm as positive as I can be about it. Not only my politics, but the fact I'm a small business owner, I'm all in. At the same time, I just want to make sure that we think about it and think about what's next, right? That's the business owner's job, too, to think about what's next.
When we get back, I got the numbers by industry.
I like that. All right, we'll do that. We'll get some facts.
That's right.
All right, good. And thanks, Kane. 854 FM Talk 106.5 still overturned. 18-wheeler I-10 eastbound in the Wallace Tunnel. Be aware of that. And you said you had some additional stats with these labor numbers?
Yeah, CNBC wrote up a pretty good breakdown of the new job numbers. And as far as each division of labor goes here, professional and business services led job creation. On this report, 76,000 new positions in April. Construction added 33,000 jobs. They've now added 256,000 over the past year in construction, which shows you lots of new things being built.
That's
out
right.
There. Healthcare rose by 27,000 over the last year. It's risen by 404,000 employed people. Financial positions increased by 12,000. They're up to 111,000 over the last year. Social assistance increased by 26,000. Manufacturing added 4,000 jobs. On the other end, retail, who they've been having trouble lately, mm-hmm. they saw a loss of 12,000 jobs.
Well, yeah, I don't believe the economy is a zero-sum game. I do believe, obviously, I don't think I'm like out on the edge here. The economy grows, the pie grows. But when you look at good earnings for an Amazon, you look at giant growth for an Amazon and other companies online, but let's say Amazon, they're winning because of efficiencies.
Mm-hmm.
And those jobs are coming from somewhere else.
Yeah. I mean, you keep seeing good press releases from Amazon. They're going to move to one-day shipping now for mm-hmm. Prime. And
they're actually going to ship you stuff before you even think about it.
Yeah, crazy.
They'll be like, ding-ding on the doorbell out front, and you go, oh, I was needing a so-and-so. Here it is.
I didn't even know that I was going to order this, but wow, they beat me to it.
Perfect.
Yeah, so some pretty rosy numbers. I mean, I like seeing the construction is up so high, and also, what was the other one? Financial positions. I mean, that's only good news.
Okay, so, but I would also point out that, if you're talking about doom and gloom, mine's not doom and gloom. Mine's, I think, just trying to get ahead of ideas, and I have this thing I've talked about for 3 or 4 years with artificial intelligence that I just tell you, keep your eye on that.
Mm-hmm.
They're the biggins out there, these companies are not pouring billions, if not billions of dollars into AI research and self-driving vehicles because they think it's fun. Mm. They're doing it because that's what's going to happen. So jobs like that, and I came from I think I was the only one of my grandparents' grandchildren, the only one that doesn't have a CDL. Okay, so let you know where I come from in this. Everybody else, all my other cousins, everybody's got CDL. The two of them still drive commercially. I drive buses commercially. And those jobs I worry about. I worry about it for my cousins long term. Now, they're a little bit older than me. They're right at 50 and 52. And they may be fine until retirement. But beyond that, I think those jobs will come down. I think anything that's not an asymmetric job. Now, healthcare, there's still going to be jobs, but there's going to be more automation in healthcare. There's still going to be strong jobs in healthcare, but mm-hmm. you just got to be. I don't think it's doom and gloom. I am as happy about these numbers and as positive about the economy under President Trump as you can be. But if you're looking at what's next, it doesn't make you doom and gloom. I think it just makes you open-eyed.
Yeah. Watch out, baseball umpires. They're coming for you next.
You know, that's the weird thing. I think that the baseball umpire automated thing is going to be just like the driving cars. It's going to lead to rage. They say when they put the automated vehicles in traffic, it makes the human drivers around them so angry because those cars are just driving exactly the right speed limit for where they are. They're doing everything properly. They show no aggression in their driving, and that the humans around them will pick on those cars in a way.
Yeah.
It brings out something in the human driver.
You still think the drunks in the crowd will be like, hey, y'all!
Yes.
Check, where's your glasses?
That's
something
right.
Like that.
Well, that's the thing with, if the umps are automated in a computer and the people have no one to yell at and get angry, I think they'll not go to a baseball game.
Just
my lukewarm take. As we head to the Mike Gallagher Show, we'll see you at noon today for Midday Mobile.